Man asked with a professional smile. When they agreed, he departed to get them their drinks.
I never would have thought about staff,
Alberet absently muttered.
I arranged for them once we secured the keep,
Kim said as she approached the table with Roland in tow.
So that's why we have staff,
Karen smiled pleasantly.
Want to join us? That sounds good,
Kim agreed, claiming one of the chairs. Roland sat next to her.
What are your plans for the day?
We be having our wedding to attend,
Stacia said.
Miss Sister Deirdre be marrying Chris today.
I thought they would tie the knot,
Roland grinned.
He looked at her like I gaze at the beauty beside me.
Roland winked at Kim when she turned to look at him.
Flatterer,
Kim smiled. She kissed his cheek before turning back to the group.
That is good news. However, you all seem a bit tense. Is everything else okay?
Your drinks? The server interrupted them, setting a carafe of coffee on the table along with six cups. Will all of you be having breakfast this morning? At their nods, he left, telling them, I'll return with your meals shortly. Alberet waited for the server to walk off before he replied to Kim.
We have an issue that we'll be talking with Gerald about once he wakes up.
Kim's face went from happy to serious at his words.
That doesn't sound good. Has there been some kind of disagreement?
Nay, nothing like that,
Stacia quickly rebutted. We're just going to have to break our party up, probably, Alberet added. I've been handed a quest that's time-sensitive, and Gerald is going to be tied up with guild and noble duties.
Your food,
the server added a moment later as he started to set out plates. They were piled with eggs, bacon, sausage, and toast. Enjoy. With that, he went off to help another table. Lips pursed, Roland frowned.
You were all grouping before the guild, right?
When they nodded, Roland sighed.
I can see why you were all a little tense.
I don't think he'll take it badly, though.
That is the hope, Alberet muttered.
You think he might be upset because you handed him the guild and now are running off to do this?
Kim asked between bites.
Pretty much, Alberet replied after swallowing. I did talk him into taking over the guild, after all.
Mary Sue did that, not you,
Karen pointed out.
You offered and then she pleaded with him to take it. Karen's right, Fluff added. He is getting what she wanted for him, and we will still need to figure out what to do for a tank and healer. This quest is pretty important.
We could be asking Mrs. and Chris,
Stacia offered.
After the Witten, of course. Her healing will nae hurt your minions a store.
They ate in silence for a moment as everyone considered the option.
The rest of their group was only signed up for 1 month,
Karen mused. If none of the two-souled come back, we could probably work something out with them. That still doesn't help if Gerald is upset. Alberet sighed. One problem at a time, please.
Roland nodded. I agree with you, Alberet. One step at a time. When are you going to talk with him?
Once he says he's good. I sent him a message this morning, just waiting for a reply, Alberet told Roland. It was on that note they heard Gerald's voice. I told you they would be down here. Al, you wanted to talk?
Alberet turned to see Mary Sue and Gerald headed their way.
Kim and Roland shifted their chairs over so the other two had room. They exchanged greetings as Gerald held one chair for Mary Sue, then sat down in the other. The server came by with a new carafe and more cups before the conversation picked back up.
I was expecting you to reply, not just show up, Alberet told Gerald.
Yeah, I have an issue that I needed to talk with you about. A small frown crossed Gerald's face at the word issue.
What's the problem?
It revolves around the NDA. Alberet replied. Mary Sue sat forward in her seat, looking worried.
Did you break it?
No, Alberet reassured her. The server returned, setting down plates for Gerald and Mary Sue. Alberet waited for him to leave, then continued.
I have reason to believe that I have limited time left here, though.
The tension in Alberet and his wives was obvious to the others at the table.
I have to be kind of vague here to not break any rules, so bear with me.
Neither Mary Sue nor Gerald touched their food as they waited for him to continue. As the moment stretched out, Gerald spoke up.
Is it that bad?
Licking his lips, Albert shrugged.
Yes.
I was all but told my time here is going to end in the not-too-distant future. Pretty sure I won't be coming back, either.
Mary Sue gasped. Oh, that is horrible. Is there anything we can do?
Shaking his head, Albert gave her a tight smile.
No, it's all tied into the NDA. The problem is that I've been handed a time-sensitive quest that's also related. All four of us have, actually. We have to complete a few things before my time is up. At least one of them will require us to be at max level. With all the stuff you guys have to do with taking care of the guild and dealing with people, it means we'll probably have to find some other people to group with, since you're going to be busy.
Gerald seemed to deflate some.
I understand. I was worried you were going to say you wanted to take the guild back, and I was going to argue it.
If you have to level faster, I understand.
I'm a bit sad about it, but I get it.
All of you?
Mary Sue asked.
Aye, Stacia said softly. We did ne'er want you to be upset about it.
Gerald waved off the concern.
No, it's fine. We've had a lot of fun. But this new responsibility is what I need. Making it to max level before our time is up would be fun. But I need the guild to thrive more than that. I have to prove how effective I can be as a leader.
His eyes rested on Mary Sue as he continued.
I have to.
Mary Sue seemed to slump a little in her seat.
Yeah, but I don't want to stop hunting with them either.
We can still group up on the days you two can find the time, Albert told her. Plus, you might also consider teaming up with Kim and Roland here. Maybe add in another one of our natives to hunt with sometimes.
We'd be more than happy to do so,
Kim quickly added.
We plan to try to find another tank and healer from the guild to work on this quest, Albert told them.
I'll be honest, I'm a little upset that we can't go with you like we used to, Gerald clarified. However, I would feel awful if we stopped you from doing what you need to do.
We'll still get together and hunt, right?
Mary Sue quickly interjected.
Tonight the new testers will be showing up. Tomorrow morning we have a meeting with the contingent of crafters the king is sending to get the town back in order. We can hunt after the meeting.
Her tone held a hint of pleading as she looked at them and to Gerald.
We would be happy to hunt with you tomorrow,
Albert told her, feeling her emotional turmoil.
We have a wedding to attend today, so we won't be getting ahead of you anytime soon.
Her smile solidified from the upset half-smile it had been into a normal smile.
Okay, good. We need to be going,
Stacia said.
We've been needing to get home and dressed and see about getting to the church.
Who's getting married? Gerald asked.
Deirdre, Albert replied as he got to his feet.
Oh,
Mary Sue said, digging a small pouch out of her bag.
I didn't know it would be so soon. Please give this to her on behalf of Gerald and myself.
Stacia took it.
It be me pleasure. We'll be back for welcoming our new recruits tonight.
A moment later, they said their goodbyes as Albert, Stacia, Karen, and Fluffball went off to get ready. Kim and Roland also left, citing duties they needed to attend to. Gerald and Mary Sue stayed to finish eating. His eyes kept tracking to Mary Sue, but he didn't say anything. She looked over after a minute.
I'm okay. It was just shocking. I finally have real friends besides you. And then they say that they want to go hunting without us.
He covered one of her hands with his. They aren't ignoring us or doing it to be mean. Fluffball is easy to read. She was just as sad about it as you are. I'm sure the rest of them are too. So don't think of them as saying goodbye, but more that there's something they have to do.
Mary Sue nodded.
I'm going to leverage everything I can to find out what is happening to him when we leave here, before we come back.
I will support you if that's what you want, Gerald smiled.
Chapter 26 The quartet took their leave,
then used their homestones to appear just outside of their home in Stormguard. As they entered the house, Stasia spoke up.
"Mary Sue be a bit upset about us needin' to hunt without them."
"I noticed," Alberich sighed. "I feel a little bad about it. But if it means accomplishing what I need to do, then she'll just have to cope."
Fluffball seemed taken aback by his words and tone, but Karen patted her shoulder.
"Damn right. Al better make sure he gets this done and takes us with him."
"But we can still group with them some," Fluff pointed out a little anxiously. Turning to her, Albert gave her a sad smile.
"Of course.
But if grouping with them slows us down too much, then we will have to go without them. I won't risk failing this quest just so she doesn't feel bad. You are worth way more to me than her being upset for a little while."
Ducking her head, Fluff nodded.
"Okay. I just know what it's like to not have any friends. I think she's the same."
Stasia nodded.
"Aye, you be right."
"We're dressing, then heading over for the wedding, right?"
Karen piped up, shifting the conversation away from its current topic. "That's why we came back to the city," Albert said, heading to the bedroom. "A quick shower, then into fancy attire." He paused to pull out his mind stone, sending off a quick message to Vanessa. The women followed him, discussing what outfits they were going to wear to the wedding. They laid out the outfits they'd chosen, then bathed. Their shower was quick, with no dalliance or playing around. Outside, a carriage was parked at the curb. Vanessa was talking to the driver. She turned as the four of them left the house.
"Alberich, the driver is aware of your destination,"
Vanessa told him.
"Thank you, Vanessa," Alberich replied. "What's the cost for the day for your carriage?" he asked the driver.
"As I was telling the lady, sir, the cost to hire me for the rest of the day and into the night will run 10 gold,
the driver replied. Albert handed the older gentleman a few extra gold above the price he'd been quoted.
"Let me pay you up front. That way everything is taken care of." The driver accepted the coin with a broad smile.
"Much obliged, sir. If you need anything at all, just let me know."
Albert nodded as he opened the door and handed his wives inside. Once they were in, he gave Vanessa a smile.
"Thank you for arranging this vehicle for us."
"My pleasure. I understand you are attending a family wedding. Wish Deirdre well from me, and have a good time."
Albert grinned as he stepped into the carriage.
"Will do. Have a good day yourself."
"To the temple, please, driver."
The driver snapped the reins lightly to get the horse moving.
"Right you are, sir."
When the carriage arrived at the Dark Lord's temple a few minutes later, there was a short wait as other carriages had arrived before them. Once they were stopped in front of the temple, Albert helped each of the ladies out. As he turned to the driver held up a hand.
"I know, sir. I'll be waiting for you to be ready to attend the reception."
Albert nodded, smiling at the driver, as he took Stacia's arm on his right and Fluff's on his left, with Karen on Fluff's other side. The temple was arranged the same way that Albert had seen it for his own marriage to Stasia. Grimgar, Alistern, and Stuart waited just inside the door to lead people to their seats. Off to the left of the door, Chris Eveningstar stood in a suit of black and red, next to a small table that contained a book.
"Big day, Chris," Albert greeted the obviously nervous paladin. "Going to be joining the family in a bit. How do you feel?"
Albert didn't need to ask, easily picking up on the jumble of happiness, worry, and fear the groom was experiencing.
"Fine. It's good of you all to come to the wedding."
Chris kissed each woman's hand and shook Albert's with a firm grip.
"Deirdre was a little anxious that you all might miss it, with all the guild stuff going on."
"Ach, I need be missing me own sister's wedding,"
Stasia disagreed.
"I didn't think you would,"
Chris quickly replied.
"It's just that she's a bit anxious since you missed her dinner."
"I'll be right back,"
Stasia told Al, giving him a quick kiss before she walked off. They watched her go, Karen and Fluff trading a glance with each other. While Stacia went past her father, Alistern looked over at the group with a raised brow. Alberic shrugged at him before turning back to Chris.
Remember to breathe. If you made it this far, you've been okayed by Lilith and the other women.
Alistern blusters, but if you're here, then you're good. He leaned forward conspiratorially.
Also, call Alistern Dad. He likes that. He's always wanted a boy of his own.
Chris blinked, but his head nodded slightly.
I'll try it later.
Well, Albert said, stepping back. Ladies, we should take our seats.
He motioned them to Stuart and Grimgar as he approached Alistern.
Dad, good to see the family is growing again.
Deirdre made a good catch.
Alistern eyed him for a moment before speaking.
Aye. Deirdre was a bit worried your owl wouldn't make it this morning.
Yeah, Chris told us. That's where Stacia went off to.
I'll be back,
Stacia said as she approached them from a side door.
She'll be relaxed now. Shall we take our seats?
Grimgar offered his arm to Fluff.
If ye be doing me the honor of letting me escort you to your seat.
Stuart offered Karen his arm with a half bow.
If and you will show me to me seat, da,
Stacia said, holding out her hand to her father.
Aye.
Alistern took her hand, turning to follow the others.
If and you will stay right there a moment, sir, we'll be right back to seat you.
Alberic had started to follow, but stopped and nodded. He figured it must be some part of the ceremony, so he was willing to wait the minute it would take for the trio of ladies to be seated. As he waited, Ivana stepped up next to him. She was decked in a suit of full-plate infernal steel armor. He glanced at the former barmaid, surprised to see her here.
I see the guild emblem on your left there, Ivana. Welcome to Alpha Company.
I hope you'll be at the welcoming party tonight at the keep.
I'm curious as to why you're dressed for battle, though.
Ivana grinned at him.
I've been keeping up with the guild chat. I'm looking forward to it. Everyone has been so friendly so far. As for the armor, well, I was asked to do one last thing for the family that gave me a job.
He puzzled over her last statement as the trio of ushers came back. He turned to Grimgar as Ivana moved aside.
Grim, that suit looks sharp on you.
Grimgar smiled broadly.
Aye. Today be a special day, after all.
The second of Alistern's daughters gets married today.
Albert agreed.
Stuart coughed once and shook his head. You aren't up on all of the intricacies that can happen during a marriage ceremony in this temple.
You might be surprised, so enjoy the wedding.
Grimgar nudged Stuart.
Ach, trust ye, if and you will follow me, Albert. I be showing ye to your seat.
As Alberic followed Grimgar, he heard Stuart greet Ivana and ask if she would like to be taken to her position. Alberic was led to the second pew where his wives were seated. He greeted Stacia's grandmother in the first pew. She returned the greeting warmly, engaging the four of them in pleasant conversation until Lilith showed up a few minutes later. Lilith exchanged greetings with them as she took her seat.
It will be starting soon,
Lilith told them as she sat. She looked back at them with a grin.
I've been waiting for this day for such a long time.
Stacia grinned in turn, her eyes shining as happiness radiated off of her.
Aye, took them long enough.
Karen, Fluff, and Albert were puzzled, but before they could ask, a soft gong echoed through the temple. It was the announcement that the ceremony was about to start. Albert glanced back to see Alistern and Stuart chaining the doors closed. He couldn't remember if that had been the case with his wedding. He dragged his eyes around when he heard a door open. He saw Chris walking calmly towards the altar. Well, he looked calm, but Albert could feel the anxiety radiating off of him from dozens of feet away. Chris never looked away from the door directly across from him. He licked his lips nervously as he took calming breaths,
trying to steady himself for what was to come. Another gong sounded a few seconds later, and the door Chris was staring at opened slowly. An acolyte, dressed all in red and holding a black metal gong, was the first out the door. They struck the gong with each measured step, setting the pace of the procession. Following the acolyte was a person dressed in infernal steel full plate. A shield was strapped to their back, and a long sword hung from their hip. Alberic recognized Ivana from her armor, and he briefly wondered where Elmira was. Deirdre followed the armored figure, dressed in a gown of crimson panels, held together with black lacing. Ivory's skin flashed between the panels with every step, as she seemed to float on her black heels. Her hair was tied back, exposing her long neck. She held her head up, giving her a regal bearing as she stepped in time with the procession. As she caught sight of Chris, her eyes sparkled, and the truest smile Albert had ever seen settled on her lips. Chris was equally happy as he stood up straighter, as if trying to be better for the woman that walked towards him. The next person in the procession was the High Priest. The old but powerful man carried a black-bound book in his hand. Directly behind the priest, in a gown of the deepest jet, with streaks of bright red, came Elmira. Her dress did not hint at her figure, nor display it, and her shoes were low red heels that only barely peeked out from under her long dress. Her hair was tied back, allowing her elven ears to be on display, something she rarely did normally. She kept her eyes focused on the altar and the man who stood there. Alberic could feel her deep anxiety and anticipation, and was puzzled by it. After Elmira came Erin. She wore a regal, though subdued, gown that spoke of her coming social standing without outshining Deirdre. The top was a deep red that faded to black, ending 2 inches from her ankles to allow her red heels to be seen. Her hair was styled into an elaborate coiffure that almost seemed to float on its own. Her eyes darted to Wilbur, who sat a few spots down from Albert's group. Erin was followed in turn by Marion. Marion was dressed almost as plainly as Elmira, but her dress at least hinted at the lush figure the Crowley women had all inherited from Lilith. Her eyes didn't stray from the altar, but a small pool of disappointment sat in her heart. Alberic could guess why, as he hadn't seen Violet in attendance. His lips puckered slightly as he wondered why Violet wasn't there. She hadn't been in the group that had just completed the 1 month testing. He gave his head a slight shake to clear the thought, though he would have to follow up on it before the reception. Emily was the last one in the line of people. She wore the same dress as she had during Stacia's wedding. She was still the most conservatively dressed, but only slightly more so than Elmira. As the group finally reached the altar, the paladin stepped forward before Chris, as the priest and the acolyte stepped behind the altar. The opening of the ceremony was just as his had been, with the paladin asking Chris to identify the woman he wished as his bride. Chris stepped forward, taking Deirdre's hand in his, and leading her the 2 steps to stand directly before the altar. "The groom has made his selection," Ivana intoned in the same clear, loud voice she had been using. "The others will sit and watch, so that they may know what one day they might obtain." As Ivana turned to lead the others from the small dais, Grimgar stood up. Grimgar took 2 steps forward from his spot in the front row.
"High Priest, I beg a boon before the Dark Lord's altar on this holy day."
Alberic, Karen, and Fluff all froze at this seeming rudeness. Stacia patted their hands, reaching across Fluff to include Karen, indicating that they should just wait. Blinking, Albert waited to see what was going to happen next, fascinated by this turn of events.
"Grimgar Smith, you intrude upon a holy union. Why do you seek a boon on such a day as today?"
The High Priest's calm voice carried with ease.
"I find myself entranced by one of the maids who was nay selected. I beg to see if and she will accept me as the bride did accept the groom already before ye."
Grimgar's voice reverberated with the intensity of his request.
"Which of these maidens do you think will allow you to speak on such a day?"
Grimgar stepped to Almira and went to both knees before her.
"Almira Nighteyes, for years I've been longing to tell ye what me heart has held. I was too in awe of ye to step forward and speak. Today, though, with the love that be in this temple, I have to speak. For I fear if an I do nay, it will be forever lost to me. I be nay your equal in combat, nor your equal in beauty. However, I ask if an ye might consider me your equal in love."
He raised his head to meet her eyes, his eyes shining with emotion as he laid his heart bare before everyone in attendance. Elmira rested her hand gently on his head.
"Grimgar Smith, I too have kept hidden the emotions I have felt for you. I am not sure I will ever be your equal in skill when it comes to crafting, nor your equal when it comes to stealth. However, I will accept you as my equal in love."
Her eyes sparkled with unshed tears as she stroked his hair once. She turned to look at the High Priest.
"I would be honored if the Dark Lord would grant him this boon."
Before the High Priest could respond, a deep, clear chime echoed through the building, resonating from the altar itself. A single word then rolled through those assembled, the power and weight of it easily conveying the identity of the speaker.
"Granted."
The High Priest was the first over the shock of the brief divine presence.
"As he wills it, so shall it be. Grimgar Smith and Almira Nighteyes, please approach the altar of the Dark Lord."
As the others took their seats, and the second duo joined the first at the altar, the High Priest spoke to the crowd.
"It has been close to 200 years since the last double union in this temple. It is the first time in over 500 years that the Dark Lord has given his blessing by speaking during the ceremony. You four have been especially blessed, and today's unions shall be marked as special and remembered for generations to come. May your lives be filled with the happiness and joy you deserve."
It was at that point that Alberic realized that he hadn't felt anger or any other negative emotion from Chris and Deirdre when Grimgar had interrupted the service. Instead, he had felt happiness and acceptance. His lips ticked up as he realized that they must have all known this was going to happen. Stacia nodded ever so slightly when he glanced at her from the corner of his eye, giving his hand a squeeze in acknowledgement as the double wedding proceeded. When both couples had accepted the pledges of their mates respectively, the High Priest confirmed them married. Each newly married couple kissed, then headed down the aisle. As they passed each pew, the people seated followed. By the time the crowd spilled out of the temple doors, the two sets of newlyweds were already pulling away in their respective carriages. Alberic spotted their driver sixth in the line of carriages, waiting patiently for those in front to load up and move on. Those without carriages either milled around chatting or started walking. Once they were in their carriage and moving, Karen spoke up.
"So that was all arranged ahead of time, right?"
"Aye. They found out when I went to tell me sis that we were here,"
Stacia told her.
"Deirdre and Almira planned it out the other day. As the priest said, it had been done before, just near recently. On top of that, the Dark Lord himself blessed the unions today. If an I recall me schooling, that bodes well for them. It confers a small buff to both couples."
"The gods really can affect the world with just a single word,"
Fluff murmured.
"Aye, And he has taken a liking to our husband, Stacia added. We didn't get a buff when we pledged a few days ago, Karen pointed out.
Good things come to those who wait? Albert half-asked.
Karen was about to say something when a shiver ran through her body.
Gah! What the hell was that?
She asked. The others all looked at her in surprise, as no one else had felt the chill.
Wait, was I the only one?
Maybe the gods don't like to be doubted, Albert deadpanned. Karen eyed him for a moment, then let out a deep breath.
I'm not used to the idea of gods that can really affect the world. Sorry about that, she said after a moment.
At that moment, both Karen and Fluff gasped. Chapter 27 Both Fluffball and Karen felt a sharp tug at their very core, as if their souls had just been plucked like a harp string. As both calmed down from that moment of pure feeling, they paused. Mouths opening, they looked at the two across from them before they looked at each other. Albert and Stacia could feel their shock, then their brief moment of fear, followed by a deep understanding and love.
Thank you, Fluff finally said, as tears began to trickle down her cheeks. She grabbed Karen and held her tightly. Karen did the same in return. Stacia and Albert watched them with smiles, as they felt the love from the duo across from them double and double again. I be thinking their blood gift kicked in a mite earlier than we had been thinking it would, Stacia murmured softly.
Yes. Yes, I do believe you're right, Albert replied, as he felt the love between Karen and Fluff continue to grow. How does it feel to know, with absolute certainty, that the one you love loves you back just as much? Fluff and Karen pulled back from the embrace the barest fraction to look at him and Stacia. The love shared between the quartet radiated and grew more intense. This is why I couldn't turn you down anymore. Knowing the love you felt for me, it was too much to deny. I could no longer hide from what I felt for you, when I could feel your love for me. He slipped carefully to his knees next to their seat, so he could embrace them. Thank you for helping me to see your love, and accepting me even with all my errors and faults. Karen pulled him into the embrace, holding him as tightly as she did Fluff. Fluff sandwiched him with almost as much force. Both of them were able to feel his love, but also his sadness and pain for what he had done when he spoke of it. That only made them love him more, as they knew that he carried that hurt still, waiting for them to be able to forgive him. He was kissed passionately by one, then the other, before Stacia coughed gently.
We be truly equals now, me lovely sister wives. May our love only ever grow for each other. You will in time know the pain of when you hurt one of us. When you do, recall this moment, this purity of love. You also must remember that we have a mission of the utmost importance to us. We must complete the Overlord's quest, otherwise our bond may have been broken. I can nae even handle the barest thought of that, Stacia said.
She hitched her dress up so she could join Albert, kneeling beside him so she could wrap her wings around them all. Albert hadn't noticed when she shifted to her true form. Fluff and Karen exchanged a brief look, nodding in unison before they leaned around Albert to kiss their other sister wife. Once they pulled back, Fluff spoke up.
I will feel bad if we hurt Mary Sue, but I can't stand the idea of losing any of you now. To truly feel the love that I've longed for all my life, I can't go back to not feeling it. But can we at least try to group with them as much as we can?
We will, Albert told her, feeling her kernel of regret at the potential loss of friends. We will do the best we can. But we won't hold back just for their sake either. What I do now, I do for you three.
You are all I have left in the world. The carriage slowed as he finished speaking, prompting Stacia to return to her human guise.
We be at the inn, sir, the driver called out.
Alberic kissed each of them briefly before he was released from their grasp.
Thank you,
Alberic said as he opened the door and got out. He brushed at his slightly rumpled suit before handing the ladies out one by one. As he helped Fluff down, he whispered to her,
You won't feel emotions unless they are strong, or you focus on the person. You'll probably feel lust from a number of men. Hold to the knowledge that not one of them will hurt you. None of us will let them.
Fluffball took a deep breath and nodded, stepping aside for Karen.
Okay.
Her reply was just as soft. As he handed Karen out, he whispered to her as well.
Stick with Fluff. You'll both be feeling emotions of those around you.
Karen nodded as she took Fluff's arm. I will always look after my most precious snuggle pillow.
Fluff's cheeks burned as she felt the lust and love behind Karen's words.
Karen,
Fluff whispered, almost pleadingly, still trying to adjust to being able to feel the emotions of her lover.
Yes,
Karen asked with twinkling eyes.
Did you want a kiss?
Fluff shook her head, though her lips puckered the tiniest amount.
No.
Karen leaned in and kissed the lips Fluff had puckered.
I know you wanted it. We can't deceive each other when we can feel each other's desires.
Fluff let out a sigh of contentment as she bowed her head.
I'm going to have to learn how to accept even more. Aye, we will all be learning new things,
Stacia told her as she took Fluff's other arm.
There'll be a bit of a wait yet before the reception. Shall we be finding our table?
Not a bad idea, Alberic said. Shall we, ladies? They formed a long chain of linked arms, with Karen holding Fluff's arm, who was connected on the other side by Alberic, followed by Stacia on the other end. Walking into the cleared area set aside for the reception, they were met by Stuart.
Your table is the first one to the right of the head table, Stuart told them.
Attention, people of Stormguard. By the decree of King Tyr Justicen, from this day forward, all minions shall be free to accompany their masters within the walls of Stormguard. It is no longer a crime for demons or undead to be present within the city, though the owner of a minion will be held responsible for any damage caused by that minion.
Everyone in the area read through the pop-up. Some faces reflected blank astonishment, while a few began crying tears of joy and relief. Several others let out whoops of joy as they summoned their minions to their sides. Lips curling up into a broad grin, Alberic chuckled.
Looks like the king did as he said he would.
Blinking, Stuart looked at Alberic.
This was your doing, wasn't it?
I did ask for something like this once, Alberic told the still-reeling half-infernal.
Is Tabitha going to join the feast tonight? Are you going to summon Bob and Tiny?
Stacia asked Alberic.
Nodding, Alberic silently called Bob, Tiny, and copied Stacia.
As the smoke cleared from the minions, they looked around.
We are within Stormguard,
Tiny asked.
The king has lifted the long ban today,
Alberic told the destroyer.
This is amazing, Bob said as he took to the air, looking around wildly. So many buildings! So many people! Aye, Kitten said as she stood beside Stacia. Stacia's sister be having her wedding feast shortly.
Bob dropped back to the ground.
You invited us to the wedding feast?
Seemed like a good idea at the time, Alberic told the imp. I'm responsible for all of your actions while you're inside the walls. Your actions will reflect on me directly. Please keep that in mind.
Tiny bowed his head.
Yes, master.
You can go when you wish to return to your wives.
I thought you might enjoy the party.
Alberic grinned at his minions.
A flash of light and smoke announced a minion being summoned near them. Tabitha took Stuart's offered arm as the smoke cleared.
Let us show you to your table. I need to find Alistair after that.
The now much larger party followed Stuart to the table that had been set aside for them. All around them, others were summoning their minions, mostly infernals, though there were some undead. More chairs were being brought out to seat the new arrivals. Alberic brought over three more chairs for his minions. Alistern was accompanied by his destroyer and imp, as well as a copy of Lilith with different hair and slightly altered face. Lilith glided along behind him, a serene smile on her lips as she met Alberic's eyes.
Alberic, Stuart be telling me that this sudden proclamation be your doing. Be that right?
Alistern asked bluntly as he came to a stop across the table from the group.
Probably, Alberic replied. We did meet with the king a few days ago.
Alistern seemed a little shocked.
You do nay understand how much this will mean to so many of us.
His jaw went taut for a moment as he struggled to contain the joy he felt.
If it be true, then you will be having the thanks of all of us.
Lilith giggled softly. What my emotionally conflicted husband is trying to say is simple. Thank you. In the last few months, you have almost completely overturned the past few hundred years of repression we have endured. Now it will be up to us to prove that we deserve this.
Nodding, Alistern hooked his arm around Lilith's waist.
Aye, if in a bit blunter than me was going for.
You know as well as I how happy this must make my father,
Lilith said.
I'm sure he will be wanting to speak with you again soon,
she said to Alberic.
Alberic shook his head. I didn't have that much to do with this.
Stacia covered his hand, stopping him from continuing.
Hush! You have been at the forefront of this since your first day here. Just accept the thanks and do nay fight what is to come.
You kind of did do this, Karen agreed with Stacia.
I would like to see the Dark Lord's palace, Fluff said softly. I have dreamed of it for some time.
Glancing at Fluff, Alberic bowed his head.
If that is your wish, then I will do my best to see that it happens soon, my beautiful wife.
Fluff's joy soared at his words, and the matching emotion she felt from him. Her cheeks went pink as she felt the honesty and love in his words.
Will it always be like this?
She asked Stacia.
You will come to learn how to deal with the emotions in time. The first bit be hard when it all be so new,
Stacia told her, as she covered Fluff's hand with her own.
Welcome to the fold,
Lilith said with barely enough volume to be heard by Karen and Fluff.
Mother has been quite excited. It is an honor for me that you both partook of my blood for the change.
Karen smiled.
It's taking some getting used to. The gift bloomed less than an hour ago.
Ah, you are in for quite the night,
Lilith replied. Tonight, emotions will run high. With your other lovers beside you, though, I'm sure you will be fine.
She took Alistern's arm.
Come, husband. We have a few more things to finish before the bride and groom appear.
Aye, he said as he grinned at the group. Always things that need to be done. We'll be seeing you later.
As they left, Karen sat back.
I see your mother is showing us a good example.
Stacia grinned.
Aye.
Alberic rolled his eyes.
I feel a sudden sinking sensation.
Fluff giggled as she felt his true emotions, which were at odds with his words.
You just want us to love you. You really don't mind at all if we lead.
He met her eyes, his smile sincere.
I still have preferences in some things.
However, with the diverse family we have, none of us will ever want for anything. Stacia kissed his cheek.
Mayhap tonight you can remind me of our first time together. Laughing, he kissed her cheek back.
That can be arranged, my dear little fire kitten.
Karen smirked.
Maybe we should pull up a seat and watch, Fluff.
Gulping, Fluff looked from Karen to Albert.
As you wish.
Albert said the words, intending them to convey his acceptance and love.
I won't exclude you. Any of you.
We'll be seeing later who'll be up for what,
Stacia cut in.
For now, we'll be attending a reception.
Chapter 28
Albert woke to find Fluff facing him, her tail draped over his waist. Her hands were loosely clasped just under her chin as she purred contentedly in her sleep. Lips spreading into a smile, he watched her sleep for a time as his mind flashed back to the events of the night before. The reception had been a wild affair, wilder than any party Albert had ever attended. Not only were those in attendance already celebrating the dual marriage, they were also celebrating the loosening of the repressive laws they had lived under. As many in attendance were summoners or necromancers, or had family who were, the party was a joyous affair. A steady stream of people came over to Albert to thank him during the evening, as Stuart spread the word about Albert's part in the decree. Feeling the pride that Stacia had in him for his role in the event, he couldn't be mad at those who wanted to thank him. He was glad that the party still focused on the newlyweds for the most part. Deirdre and Elmira shone like two jewels during the evening, with Chris and Grimgar the happy grooms who stood beside them. He did note that Violet had shown up for the reception and was sitting beside Marion. Wilbur was seated beside Aaron, both of them laughing and smiling with the others at the main table. Alberic's smile became more pronounced when he pointed out to Stacia that Emily was again with Dennis, Margaret Wilson's son. He looked for Dennis's mom, spotting Margaret sitting at a nearby table, talking animatedly with a portly balding gentleman in black robes edged with silver trim. The giving of gifts was mostly one-sided, as very few people had been expecting the second couple to marry. Only the Crowleys, Albert, and a few others had something to give to the second couple. Elmira and Grimgar did their best to let everyone know it was fine, as they didn't need as much since they were both well-established merchants. Deirdre and Chris were different. They were all but smothered in gifts. Deirdre was fighting back tears through most of it, overwhelmed by the generosity. Deirdre wept tears of happiness when Wilbur and Aaron presented the key to a home. Chris stood at that point and shook Wilbur's hand, adding his own profuse thanks. The dancing and drinking had gone on for hours after that. Albert made it a point to dance with both brides, while his wives danced with both grooms. After that, the quartet made polite, quiet goodbyes before slipping away. They made it back to the guild hall in time to take the portal and walk up the ramp to the keep an hour before midnight. They worked with Kim to get the room set up while Gerald and Mary Sue went to the portal guild to welcome the new testers. The plan was for Gerald to greet the new people, then take them through the portal and show them the keep. They would all be told the requirements and offered the chance to join the guild. When the crowd finally arrived, it was over 300 people strong. Albert blinked at the massive crowd. Fluff stepped behind him and Karen. Gerald followed the recruits with Mary Sue on his arm. He nodded to the quartet who stood next to the throne as he took his position in front of it. He gave a brief welcoming speech, informing all those who had shown up of the requirements to join the guild. A few people scoffed at the idea of having to be nice to the natives and promptly left. Some were escorted out by the guards when they tried to sneak up the stairs. Still, over 200 people accepted a scroll from the officers. There was a reception for those who accepted an invitation to the guild. Food and drink were laid out on sideboards, while old and new guild members circulated and chatted. The party stretched on until almost 5 in the morning, when people finally started to leave, ready to turn in their scrolls and to head out hunting, as groups were forming amongst the newcomers.
Albert reminded Gerald they would be hunting after getting some sleep. Mary Sue seemed happy with the news, giving them all hugs and promising to be ready when they were. After saying their goodbyes, the four of them pulled out their homestones and went back to the house. Just inside the door of their home, Albert felt a surge of emotion wash over him. Turning, he discovered Stacia had stripped completely naked, after just a few seconds of being inside. Before he could say anything, she knelt and asked him, as she had the first time that seemed so long ago, to take her. He nodded as he reached down and stroked her cheek. He dragged her into the bedroom and ravaged her for the next couple of hours. He did his best to not think about Karen and Fluff watching him dominate Stacia, focusing on the woman who begged him to do even more to her. He complied, going beyond where they had been before, giving her everything she wanted. At the end of those 2 hours, Stacia lay bonelessly on the bed, a languid smile on her lips. Albert turned to reassure Fluff that he wouldn't do the same to her, having felt some trepidation once he allowed himself a moment to feel her emotions. He hadn't even gotten turned all the way around when he became aware of the burning desire of Karen, just before she tackled him onto the bed. For the next hour, he fought unsuccessfully to free himself, as Karen had her way with him. He could feel her need for the struggle, so he fought back as much as he could, but wasn't surprised to lose since he wasn't wearing any of his gear. When she was finally sated, she slid off him and into Stacia's welcoming arms. Albert smiled at the two of them as Stacia lulled both herself and Karen to sleep. He was puzzled about where Fluff had gone, until he felt her curl up beside him. She watched him with a timid expression, her emotions a combination of desire and uncertainty. "We can just sleep, Fluff," he told her to calm her fears. Shaking her head, she leaned in and licked at his neck, at his sensitive spot. "I'm not ready for all of it, but maybe I can explore you some, while you touch me?" She swallowed nervously. Her emotional conflict was high. She desperately wanted what she asked for, but was also deathly afraid of being hurt or rejected. "As you wish," was his reply, with all the warm acceptance he felt as he let his fingers begin to lightly dance across her body. She returned the light touches, though she kept her eyes turned away from his. She could feel his desire for her, that he tempered with concern. That, above all else, was what helped her continue to caress him. It ate at her own fears, lessening them by fractions with every touch, as he continued to gently trace her body. His eyes grew heavy over the next few minutes, and he struggled to stay awake to please her as much as he could. She didn't shift away from him, even when he began to gently massage her pert breasts. He tried to rise to her touch, but his body just wouldn't respond to his desire. She could feel his disappointment in not being able to continue, as he berated himself for failing her.
"Sleep. You were perfect. You did nothing wrong, and have shown me how much you want to keep me safe even while you desire me,"
she told him as his eyes finally slipped shut for the last time.
"Anything for you,"
he mumbled as he started to fade. Her contented purr, along with a few gasps of pleasure, were the last things he heard as he finally fell asleep. Those memories flitted through his mind as he looked at her now, vulnerable and smiling in her sleep as she purred. Reaching out, he stroked her head right at the base of her ear as gently as he could. Her lips twitched as her smile grew, her purring growing louder as she reached out her hands an inch and began to knead his chest. Her fingers were gentle, continuing the unconscious massage as she began to wake. As her eyes fluttered open, he leaned in and kissed her softly on the lips.
"Morning, my happy cuddler. I'm sorry about last night."
Coming awake with a sigh of happiness, she kissed him again after his apology.
No, it was perfect. I don't think I could have gone any further right then. It was wonderful having you caress me. Knowing that you wouldn't do more was freeing. I'll never be able to do what Stacia does for you, or do what Karen does to you.
She bit her lip as she tried to explain what she was trying to say.
Then you'll just have to be the medium between them. Softly giving and softly taking.
So I have my own version of the three bears,
Albert said when she paused.
So I'm just right? She asked, her heart leaping into her throat.
I'll say you are, Karen answered from the other side of Albert, as she draped herself over his chest.
We're each different in our own ways, Fluff.
She gave the smiling Lenore a kiss.
Shall we go bathe and get ready for hunting?
Sounds like a promising plan,
Stacia added as she got out of bed.
If and we can get our husband to agree.
I do agree. But I seem to be at a severe disadvantage at the moment, Albert said from where he was still pinned down by Karen. I seem to end up at her mercy all the time. Karen grinned down at him.
As you should be.
She stole a kiss from him before she got out of bed.
Come on already. We have a quest to complete.
Laughing, he followed her as Fluff escaped out the other side of the bed. No one ever says how rarely a man with three wives actually gets to win an argument, Albert mentioned idly as he trailed the trio into the bedroom.
You win as often as you should,
Stacia replied as she motioned him onto a seat.
Now you should sit so I can be pampering you,
which be a privilege, as you be so put upon.
He could see the laughter in her eyes.
Oh, so much bait, but I'm not opening up that can. If I tried, Karen would jump me.
Snorting as she began to wash Fluff, Karen shook her head.
Nope, that's between you and her this morning. I already have my hands full with something delightful.
Fluff giggled as Karen scrubbed her back.
I like the way she washes me.
Albert pointed at the seat. I think I'll wash you first. Sit, kitten. Eyes heating, Stacia bowed her head.
As me master wishes.
She sat and stretched languidly, looking over her shoulder at him.
Every kitten likes to have their owner rub them.
Yup,
Fluff said softly as Karen rubbed her. She froze for a second, realizing she'd said it out loud, and waiting for the rebuke that she expected to come. Instead, she heard and felt the love-filled laughter, which eased her tension.
None of us will rebuke you, Fluff, Karen whispered to her. We just want you to be loved by each of us, and all of us. Your past is just that now, done and gone in the winds of yesterday. Today, tomorrow, and beyond will be filled with love.
Bowing her head, Fluff nodded.
It's just so hard to get used to. Even being able to feel all of your love, it's taking time to break down the old walls. Now I'm afraid you won't wait for me to do so.
Silly goof,
Karen said as she wrapped her arms around her lover.
Do you honestly think any of us would do that? No, but the fear is still there,
Fluff sighed, as she accepted the love around her.
Aye. It will take time,
Stacia said from where she was being played with by Albert. Her voice cawed as he tweaked her nipples.
Even you can put up with our quirks, do you nae think we can deal with your quirks?
She shuddered as a wave of pleasure rolled through her.
Master, if you keep doing that, I will be a naughty minion and delay us going.
Albert pulled his hands away from her.
Can't have that.
His suppressed laughter sent another shudder through Stacia, as he did exactly what she wanted him to. Deny her pleasure for the moment. He could feel her wants, and knew she needed him to toy with her, just as she had needed him to take her roughly last night.
We all have our place in this union, Fluff,
Albert said as he rinsed Stacia clean. He looked over at the recently rinsed Lunari. Last night was the tip of the last hurdle between the two of us. It will be overcome at your pace. But between now and that time, all of us will be here for each other. After that hurdle is overcome,
We will continue to be here for each other. I will defy Victoria herself, if need be, to keep us all together.
Fluff stood up, switching places with Karen.